I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Welcome back everyone to The Last Lap for the first time in 2023. We're back talking about F1 with my you're looking different today. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Really, do you reckon?
Yeah,
I got a trim recently, so it might be that. I think I did something different with my hair today.
Maybe.
Didn't wash it this morning, so maybe that's what I don't know. Up there or something.
Happy New Year. Where the hell did you get them from, man? All the audio only listeners, please explain. Because there's a lot of audio-only listeners here who aren't getting the full experience.
Yeah, shouts out to Spotify gang. Basically, we're out here with the golden sunglasses on that say Happy New Year just above. It's a fresh year. It's 2023. It's a new year. Same foolishness, ladies and gentlemen.
Where did you get them from?
I think they're from Amazon. I didn't buy them. My flatmates bought them. And yeah. I've now acquired it.
I was thinking that could have maybe been like a Christmas cracker. Kind of,
setting up Christmas cracker, though, to be fair.
But listen,
jumbo size.
Why not? It's a pleasure to be back, mate.
Yeah, no, pleasure to be here.
So new year.
To be here with you.
And pleasure to get yet another guest on the Last Lap podcast. It's Jake Paul.
JP1.
Yeah.
JP1.
The one before, and only. Yeah.
Before your audio only listeners kind of go, that ain't the YouTuber.
No, that isn't.
Doesn't sound like it.
But you've navigated that.
Wrong shape.
You've navigated that one well with JP1.
I think
great. Love your new logo, by the way, mate.
Not so new, but yeah, I think we'll get a merch line going and I'll try and catch up with you guys.
Yes.
Sensational.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Jake, first and foremost, kind of introduce yourself to the audience. Why are you a relevant voice in the world of F1, my friend?
Who said I was relevant?
I'm saying it. Right, I'm flying that flag.
Tomo knows.
Right, so I'm JP1, Jake. Graphic designer, formerly at Formula One, formerly now from Oracle Red Bull Racing as well. And then I've got sort of smatterings of experience doing graphic design for like sports agencies as well. I don't know, depending when the podcast comes out, you might know and you might not know where the sort of the next step is, but I'm sort of trying to assemble like an F1 Thanos gauntlet of sort of graphic design experience. So I've got like F1 itself.
That's the middle one. That's probably the middle.
That's the
one.
Is it the yellow one? I don't know.
Whatever. I think so, yeah.
If we've got the sort of the F1 stone, we've got the agency stone, we've got the race team stone. There's maybe two more that I can think of.
You've got the LinkedIn stone as well. You might recognise, if you're watching, you might recognise this face.
The most professional of them all.
Yes.
If you're watching the video version, you might recognise this face from a LinkedIn advert. When did you do that LinkedIn advert? Because that was the first time I saw you.
I think it was just before 2020.
Yeah.
It was just before COVID. I think the advert came out just before then. Yeah. I think not that far from this secret location is actually where we filmed it. So
Kind
of nice to come back and
memories.
A couple of people asked for a few autographs on the way in, obviously.
Standard.
And,
yeah.
And, It's just one of those things, really. The price of fame. It's the price.
Well, yeah, because you pivoted from what I guess conventionally seems quite a dry career to a creative fun career. And I can say that because I'm a designer as well. So I'm more than happy to destroy your old boring career.
Oh, yeah. Well, mate,
you're one of us.
Where's the creativity in making like a spreadsheet? Like Comic Sans, it's
there's a lot of fonts out there. There's a lot of fonts.
I mean, the default fonts. I mean, Wingdings could do it in that, I guess.
Yeah, slap it in there. Couple shapes and sizes. You know what I'm saying?
I used to work in banking, and I'm a qualified lawyer, which is really weird to say. Still, it's like 10 years on, but. I mean, that's my background.
Allegedly. A lot of allegedlys in this.
Allegedly.
We've got to be careful.
A lot of that. I mean, I'm going to be reviewing the podcast and sort of checking what sort of, legal if there's any things. Defamation suits I can start filing.
Every single sentence of this pod, I'm going to have to say allegedly.
Watch yourself. Maybe put terms and conditions in as well.
Yeah, I'm only allegedly wearing these sunglasses.
You only allegedly got a head.
We are
doomed. We will get a bit more into,
for sure, because
there's a lot. I'm sure there's a lot of insight that. There's a lot of questions I want to ask you about your varied experience. That's why we've got you on. But first of all, and sad news actually, I think we need to address first thing. Ken Block,
mate,
yeah, man,
lost his life.
Rest in peace. Honestly,
that was a shock to this morning.
You see his hashtag trending, and that's the last thing you think.
Yeah.
Snowmobile accident in Utah.
Yeah, no.
Incredibly sad.
With his family and friends, because he was obviously like as an avid gamer when I was like growing up, I used to play like Dirt 3 all the time and Dirt 2 and all that jazz, and he was on that, and that was like what introduced me to him and his Gymkhana and his drifting.
Gymkhana is how I got into it.
Same. The one I remember the most is the first time I had a Mark 7 Fiesta.
Yeah.
Because my mum had a Mark 7 Fiesta.
And I was like, you were like, I can do this. This is relatable. I can drift this car.
Let me go down to Tesco right now.
I was like, mum, look, this is the potential that our car has, okay? See it. That was the first Gymkhana I remember. But that's how I got into it. And then obviously, the dirt games came after. But what I think, because obviously, look, this is an F1 show, but this is also a motorsport show. And I think anything that helps get people into motorsport, be that Drive to Survive with F1 or Gymkhana or video games, however that comes, it's all part of the family. Mm-hmm. And that's far too soon as well. He's only, what, 55?
55, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I didn't realize he was that old.
No.
It's kind of
I was actually surprised.
I thought he was in his 40s.
Yeah, 1,000.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw him at Goodwood as well. It's a big blow, man. It's a big blow.
1,000.
Just such a good gateway to people into motorsport. You know, like the Gymkhana series, that was hyped every time one of those came out. Mm-hmm. People were like, what is this madman going to do next in this car?
He's like drifting and like the back tire is like over like a 75.
Honestly.
It's just like, what's going on?
And we're not even talking about the cars themselves. Like cars themselves are just works of art in the sense of like, how do you like, you've got like a Mustang, like that original Mustang was like my favorite one.
Mm.
And like, that's a very established car at this point. We know what a 60s Mustang looks like. Mm. You need to kind of deconstruct it and kind of go, I don't care.
I don't care about the rules.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, mad. Absolutely mad.
And legacy will live on for sure. But anyway, back to F1. Jake, your first kind of experience working in this great motorsport came with working for F1, if I'm correct in saying.
No.
Is that correct?
No. Check your facts.
Allegedly. Sorry. So where did it begin?
It began. One of your previous guests, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work with him. Actually, right.
Did you?
Yeah, we've got a crossover there.
Tim did tell me that. Tim,
big up Tim. So it was a sports agency. So I did not have any exposure to F1, really. Like, one of my mates in my group watched it, and he would bore us to tears in the pub all the time with facts about different drivers that I didn't care about. And then I think growing up, it was just kind of like, F1 is just the Michael Schumacher invitation.
Mm.
Like, I just kind of was like, cool, I guess.
Yeah, this guy wins it all the time.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if you put guns to my head as like a 12-year-old, I mean, don't put guns to 12-year-old heads, but
that's the law coming out, right?
Exactly. You got to kind of like cover yourself. Just swerve. I mean, I would have said like, oh, I was a Schumacher fan, but wasn't like I had like a great connection to it or anything like that. It was always about football. I kind of get a call when I like blown out my knees playing American football, and it was after a job. Recruiter rings me up one day and he's like, "Oh, like there's a sports agency that are hiring." I was like, "Oh, I think this is a little bit kind of advanced for me. Like I just come out of my first job. I'd only done it for about 8 months. I've only just become like a designer as far as I'm concerned." I'm like, "In the future, yeah, man, that would be so cool. But right now, no." Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to go to the interview and just get the experience of going in there, sort of see what the big leagues is kind of like from the minor leagues and just get the experience. And then when I do go to sport, I've got an idea of what to expect.
Yeah.
But I went in there after the recruiter's gone like, yeah, they, I was like, do they do football? No. Basketball? No. I don't know. Just sport I kind of know about. He's like, no, he's like, they do F1, they do sailing, they do cricket. I'm like, these are the deadest. I'm like, oh.
Blasphemy.
There is no redeeming qualities about cricket. There is nothing interesting about that. No. If I leave here with anything on the table, no allegedly, it's a dead sport.
You're happy to ruffle those feathers.
I'm happy to ruffle the feathers. I'm happy to just
violate that fan base.
And the three people who watch sailing who are listening as well, they're not happy.
CLGP, I'll give them their due. CLGP
looks
like it might be.
There's quite a bit of crossover between sailing and F1, in terms of technology and components, Adrian, materials. Adrian, yeah, it's true.
Come on.
Yeah.
America's Cup.
Ineos as well.
Merck versus Red Bull all over again, just on the sea.
But no, fuck sailing. Anyway.
Not interesting.
Carry on.
long story short, go to the interview, not expecting much, and just hit it off with the designers there. They like vibe with me, I'm vibing with them. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, don't get carried away though, lad. You're not getting this job. Anyway, I got the job and found myself now having to like design stuff around F1. So at the time, I think the first sort of team exposure I got, and bear in mind obviously I'm at an agency, I'm not working for the team itself,
of course, yeah,
it's a big difference. But I was doing stuff for McLaren and the Hilton account. So it was just really strange for me to kind of go into like a sport that I had no real understanding of. I couldn't tell you who the main characters were. I mean, I'm in the interview and they're like, what do you know about F1? And I'm like, is Lewis Hamilton still a thing? McLaren? Something about McLaren. And I was like, I don't know.
What about Ferrari this one time?
Did I think for? Yeah, I think for. I think I knew a Ferrari, but I kind of went from not knowing anything to designing stuff, and then you'd see it on TV.
Yeah,
like it was the most strangest thing to kind of go from creating in my bedroom, and I see it, and I'm like, that bangs, cool, turn the computer off, that's it, done. To suddenly, like, it was the Australian Grand Prix, the first race I ever watched from start to finish, and I was like, elements of like the agency there, like Hilton was their account. Cool. Hilton's like just a pivotal part of the business. So it was kind of like, that's us. Yeah, you're watching TV, like, wow. And
got your
fingerprint
in there.
Exactly. And I don't know if you can look at any sport in the world that has the exposure that F1 does. When you think of, we always look at it kind of with European eyes because we're in Europe, but they have such a great big audience in places like, India, Africa, Asia. Obviously now America is a developing area. Yeah. South America, you've got Checo is like leading that charge. I don't know if there's a sport on the level F1 is that has the exposure it does, that you can kind of, if you're granted the opportunity, walk into and have an immediate impact and people see it with that many eyeballs. Yeah. And that for me was just like, mate, inject it. That was just the moment for me where I'm like, right, like it's cool. You've got like cool cars, you're making a graphic with a F1 car, like it immediately bangs.
It looks
just like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like,
all the components are there. It's not like a really, I remember some of the clients when I worked agency work, like, oh my, there was one of the clients, the driest client I worked with was, when you go through airport security?
Yeah.
I'm already bored.
Yeah, exactly. and the machine your bag goes through?
It's
the company that makes them.
Right.
That makes those machines. How am I meant to make that interesting?
But how are you supposed to get excited about that as well? Yeah.
I can't. F1 makes your life easy. But so what years were you?
Find your luggage today.
Luggage by Tomo. I should have got you on. That was good.
That
was too good.
I mean,
that was far too good. I'm missing out. But no, so those years, when did you So what were those years? How long ago were you working at agency?
2017 to okay, back so into 2018.
Not, not long ago. And then obviously you moved from there to F1?
No. This guy, man.
When do you get to F1, man? What is all these different jobs? Like, why do you keep changing jobs?
Me, I'm a professional here.
That's why I keep looking.
I got like, I forgot I had the
that's
one.
What it actually says.
I was like, yo, how are you not?
That's what it actually says. I'm a professional. Yeah.
It's because my eyes keep drifting upwards. Yeah. And I'm like, it is New Year. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It is
New Year. No, I left there. Basically, the team sort of changed around. There was like a big sort of upheaval and also like needed money to pay a mortgage. So left there, went and worked for I did a Tomo, basically. I went to somewhere that wasn't like super duper exciting. It was a print company and it was all about like business cards. And
oh, yes. Nice.
You know, posters. And yeah, I mean, I thought, This might just be like creative death now. Like I mean, and don't get me wrong, like
it's a tough gig. That
it's a tough gig. I love design. Like I'm passionate about design first and foremost, and then sort of the sport aspect will come afterwards. But I was just like, man, I need the excitement again. You know, like when you're working as a designer in the industry, your kind of life revolves around race weekend. Like you're, I think is kind of. It's probably a little bit over the top to say it, but you kind of almost feel like you are like an engineer almost or something. You're kind of gearing up, or an athlete, you're gearing up for the race weekend. Like, you know, you come in on the Monday, let's say that Sunday is the race. You've got deadlines to hit before then that could be for activations for this, I don't know, sponsor, this client, etc. And that was just what I missed. Like, you know, I go to a print company, like, there's the competition in that. There's not really. So
you
I was there
have
for
possibly a, felt part of a team like you would when you're working in.
Yeah. And I think as well, like I kind of brought an element of like the F1 sort of mentality to it. And I'm not entirely convinced that like they liked that. Just put it that way. Because obviously they're just like, yeah, you know, that's fine. We can do it. And I'm like, no, we need to, you know, it needs to be better, faster. You know, and they're just like, all right, can't like, it's not that
when deep. Everyone got in the morning, it's like, and away we go. Jake Paul is here.
Sit down and start announcing myself. You know, like in P1. Yeah. It's a bit much. And I would be trying to like subtly get F1 references into like, you know, if there's a business card, like mock up or something, I'd be like, Mr. Alonso, you know.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Just little things. See if anyone knows.
Yeah.
And then I went back to F1, but I went to F1 after that. There's a lot of crossover with sort of people that I'd kind of worked with or sort of knew. They kind of knew who I was vaguely at the time. So
did F1 come to you or did see the opportunity?
It was like the weirdest thing. I've just got to the point where I'm like, I'm going to start looking for something more like sort of my ballpark. And then like I got on a certain social website that I won't name for legal reasons. Definitely not. I'm not sponsored by them or anything. And I literally saw that they had a job there that was like pretty much in terms of like experience I'd got to that point, it was like I'd written it. It's almost like a Christmas wish list, but or whatever. Like, amazing. So I went and applied for it, got it. That was kind of foot back in. And
did you know it was with F1 or was it one of those job adverts where it only tells you the job description, it doesn't tell you who it's for?
No, I think they'd actually put it as F1. Like I'd applied for an F1 job maybe a year or two before and didn't know what it was for. And then they were like, can you move to Kent? No, I'm not doing that. So that's kind of like where that kind of ended. And kind of like when one door kind of closes, another one opens. Like I think you've always got to look at these types of things as like it's a positive, it's not a negative. Like you can sit there and you can be like, oh, I didn't get like a job at wherever. But you're kind of, you know, there's nothing to say you can't come back. There's nothing to say you know, that door doesn't open later on and you've made that connection.
Yeah,
you've
of course.
Face to face. Face to face is always better than over, you know.
You never know when a positive interaction with someone can come back to like, you just help you out years down the line.
It's all about networking, it's all about LinkedIn.
But it's also about treating people like with respect and nicely. Like I've seen people, I've worked with people, you know, sport is like a very like incestuous sport industry, but also there's a lot of people in there who have like very strong personalities and I think that's great, but you can't be burning bridges and then expect to kind of have an opportunity later on because people don't forget, people remember. You know, it's just play the game, you know, it's a game at the end of the day. Careers are a game at the end of the day. But I think it's just about being treating people nicely because it will just pay itself off later on.
So when you went to F1, were you working from their secret London base?
Secret, top secret. Top secret. Yeah, it's got like an underground bunker, you know?
Where right, just, well, no, so yeah, either yeah. They don't put the address out because they don't want people turning up.
Well, you can find the address.
Like congregating.
You can find the address.
If you look hard enough.
No, I'm joking.
Stefano's going to kick the door in.
Yeah. I mean, if you find the right sort of spot, like you're all sort of, you know, when I was there, let's see, who did come in? Yeah, I mean, you'll see a lot of like people from motorsport kind of going in there. You know, I saw Lawrence Stroll. Like, I was in like a boardroom one day, like having a bit of a dry meeting, and like Lawrence Stroll kind of walks past, and you sort of like halfway like through writing notes, look up, and you're like, "Nice Chile, mate." Oh, yeah. You know, okay, Lawrence is here. Like, it's a cool place to work. You just don't know what. Who might
did you
show
sense
up.
Lawrence's energy? Does he have like a gravitational pull? I can imagine just the way he walked, like,
like gravitational
pull-esque. Full of money.
No, I mean, it's like one of those things where, you know, like if you're in a room with someone and they kind of have that aura.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the room.
He like, strikes me as someone with that aura.
You can't, because like I said, I'm looking down and I'm like, the energy just shifts outside. People have gone like
floors, this. Tables are shaking.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Like, just being in, having, you're that close to it is pretty interesting.
Because it's such a, like, that environment, and you've got such a variety of characters.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, when it comes to a design point of view, because obviously every team and F1 has their, you know, that's a huge part of promoting yourself, marketing yourself.
Yeah.
Is that, you know... Is that side of things all quite close? Like, do you still know? Do you know a lot of the designers in F1? Like, does everyone know everyone? Like, across the teams, or?
I mean, like, big up Sean Ball. Obviously,
of course,
the goat,
Sean Ball.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of getting there. I think initially there wasn't necessarily a lot of like cohesion, but I think like with stuff like COVID and people kind of having to communicate with each other, or you know, people were posting way more work at that point, and I think that changed the parameters. I think beforehand, not intentionally, but there was just kind of like divides, you know, like oh well, I'm not going to talk to the Merc designers because, you know, like I don't like Mercedes, or I'm not going to talk to the Ferrari guys because you know, I don't like Ferrari. I think a lot of sort of the animosity you see between like fans and stuff doesn't actually correlate between like people working 100%. In it, and it's like really funny to the people working in it when you see like fans going for each other's throats on Twitter,
like tribalism, and just like obviously it's not going.
What did you say about it? Like,
well, all the pit crew are on the same flights going home.
Of course, they're all mixed.
I was on the same flight as all the McLaren. I think it was McLaren and Haas, like going to and from Miami. I was in business.
All right.
They're all walking past. I'm wearing full Red Bull gear, like piecing them out. There's no.
And they're giving you one of them back.
Pretty much. I mean, they weren't happy. But then they got their own back when we got to the terminal, because they've all got their like priority access to their bags. So I was just around
there. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Win some, lose some. But there's no animosity between people. But I think as time's gone on, I think the networking and sort of the hands of friendship, shall we say, has kind of improved and people are talking. But then from a design perspective, it benefits, you know, if I look at it, like if you just look at it completely objectively, it benefits me to actually sort of reach out to all these different like teams and the designers and know who people are, because at the end of the day, you're always looking like, what's everyone else doing? What's like Alfa Romeo doing? Because like, you know, some of their graphics absolutely slap. Right? How can we bring elements of that into what we're doing, or something similar? You know, you look at Williams and they've just started doing motion design in their graphics. How do we kind of bring that element into it? And it's just kind of, at the end of the day, like it's so, as I said, incestuous that people are always kind of taken from everyone.
Yeah.
That's why I think the social media side of the, you know, look at it back in 2017-18.
Yeah.
It was like a wasteland.
Jesus.
And now, you know, we've got Ferrari doing memes. It's a new world.
See, I was going to ask, do you get that like total creative freedom? Because obviously when we were talking about liveries before on the show, there's like such restriction in what you can do because certain brands and companies want this and that.
Yeah.
Do you have to deal with that?
You're designing a billboard on wheels.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a perfect analogy, really. Yeah. I know people have left F1 for that reason, because it is a lot, especially if, you know, you pour so much of your, like, your heart and soul into a design, get it to a point to then have it kind of walked all the way back, and, you know, we're going to do a white car, and it's going to have this on it and this on it, and then you, nah, it's going to be a red car now. Like, yeah, and you're like, come on, like, this is like such a good concept, and you'll have eyeballs. And I think it's kind of balancing that frustration with sort of the reality of the sport. Like, people are paying a lot of moolah to be on, you know, the car. Doesn't matter where it is on the
certain
car.
Way, yeah.
Yeah, and they have input, you know. So it's creative freedom, I think, varies. And I think it would also vary between team to team to team. I think if you were a newer team, so let's say like Ford come into the sport as a new entry, I think it's more of a blank canvas there, but you're still going to be bound by what are Ford's brand guidelines. Because obviously, you know, not going to have a pink logo. They're not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, there's a balance, and it's just finely balanced depending on who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously when you went, you know, you've worked for Formula One. You've also worked for a team.
Yep.
When did you join Red Bull? Oracle Red Bull Racing, sorry.
Oracle Red Bull Racing, yeah. Put some respect.
I noticed you said that at the start. Was that drummed into you? You have to lead with the title sponsor.
Have to know it's branding. You have to know.
It depends. Because obviously when I joined
Mercedes AMG Patronus Formula One team.
Oh, hell no way. That's too much. That's Merc. It's always Merc. When I joined, it was Red Bull Racing, because Aston had left the year prior. Mm-hmm. And then obviously.
So what was your first year?
First year was 2021.
Yeah.
So I think it was just after Baku. Because when I did my interview, I walked around the factory. I got like a little factory tour, and the car had just come back and was in a few bits. It was like but they're just like, yeah, look at the carbon, like, you know, here, you know, it's not great. And I'm like, you're touching an F1 car. Like, my brain had just like gone at that point. Yeah. Like, that was Max's car.
Mm.
Can you show me the wheel that he was kicking? Oh my God, like, it, bizarre. It's the most surreal point. It was like an out-of-body experience.
Mm.
But I joined 2021, and
You joined at the maddest time.
Mate, what a crazy, crazy period of time to have joined.
How was that? Like, because emotions must have been, because obviously at the time of the Baku incident,
wasn't he leading? What was it?
Yeah, Max was leading.
Because Lewis had done. Yeah,
Lewis then
had
Lewis done did the brake magic, and so it was one of them that it kind of balanced out
in the end. But Max still kind of lost out on points, technically speaking, because
that was true. Because wasn't that Perez's first win?
That was
team?
Then Bottas got a puncture as well.
Like, what was the emotion like at the time in the team, and how did you come in? Because obviously that was such an intense year, and you've come in halfway through, and you're meeting all these new people, and you're like, are you straight at like 100%?
No,
like,
I'm historically a Lewis Hamilton fan. I wouldn't really say I have like a team allegiance necessarily, but my soft spot has always been Red Bull. Like, so when I went to that agency interview, that was the sort of design task I did was all about Red Bull, just because I didn't know any F1 drivers. I figured Lewis Hamilton was too obvious to do like a design task round, so I just typed in F1 drivers, and there's Danny Ricciardo grinning his head off, and I'm like, he looks happy. Like, that's great. And then I'm like, drives for, oh, Red Bull have a Formula One team. That I was like, I had no idea, genuinely. And I'm like, that's kind of mad. I didn't really understand like the deepness of Red Bull and sort of you know, its fingerprints across sport. So like, I've always had a soft spot for like what they do and kind of how they're pushing boundaries sort of off the track and everything else. Having that soft spot and kind of going in, I was like, all right, cool, I'm align myself with obviously my employer. But the atmosphere and sort of, there are people that have worked in that team for a very long time. Some people are like,
since it was Jaguar.
Yeah, some people before that. And you kind of get the energy. So like, my girlfriend, now fiance, no, don't get mad. at the time she was like, oh, you're going to join Red Bull and you're going to just like get consumed by it and everything else. You're just going to renounce Lewis Hamilton. I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. It's like, I can work at Red Bull and still support Lewis Hamilton. Like, it's calm. I think I was there for like 3 days and I was just like, oh man, like Red Bull, man, Red Bull, Red Bull. Still supporting Lewis, but wanting Red Bull to win over him, which was different to how it was before, where I kind of like want Lewis to win, but Red Bull to somehow kind of, you know, like Lewis win drivers, Red Bull to win constructors, that kind of thing. But you, so many people have just wanted them to win and to kind of get over, like so many, you know, there'd been so many trip ups in the years prior. And so to kind of be in a fight, or that was like the excitement was quite palpable.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there long. And suddenly you're kind of like, you know, you're watching races with a very different, you cut to, I don't know, a different team. And you're like, get it back. Show me Red Bull. Show, I need to see, like, where's Max? What's he doing? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, by the time, you know, we got to, let me think, it was like the, not Jet, was it Jeddah? I can't remember.
When,
it was, so when
they
the whole
sort of brake testing each other.
I was watching that and like my, I thought I was going to die. Like the pressure had just ramped up. Like the whole team, like we're just living and dying off of.
Were you watching that at home or were you watching it at the factory?
I would probably got arrested if I'd like watched, because I'd have just been like screaming. Like, like you're getting sectioned. Like, there's something clearly wrong with you. You got something wrong. No, I mean, we got to sort of like Abu Dhabi. I watched that in a bar in London and, you know, I was like undercover because it was like, turned out it was like deep Mercedes territory. It's just everyone, like all these people crawled out the woodwork. It's like Lewis Hamilton, because you remember the hype that, you know, everything had got. I had like a Red Bull thing like under my t-shirt,
ready to just pull off.
If we win, if he wins, I'm just going to like full on, you know, like skid, like after just scored the World Cup final in front of everyone.
Yeah, knee slide.
Knee slide sentence.
And it, it just obviously popped off. I mean, like it was just such a like relief, because you think I've been living with that for 6 months, give or take, of just, you know, this pressure, win, 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 win. And that comes from the top down. Like it doesn't matter what your job is, anyone below the team principal, you know, you could be someone who works in the kitchen, or maybe you're someone that works in facilities. It doesn't matter. It's like, I'm just driven to just absolutely smash what I do, because I want to be better than the person at another, like at other teams, even though we've got the same job. So by the time that all kind of climaxed and kind of reached this end, I mean, like we were just, it was unreal. Like to the point where this year was like quite anticlimactic, because for those of us who were there the year before,
that'll never get top.
No, I mean, like we went into the office the next day and it was just like party.
Yeah.
Full on party. Like I got in there early.
Was it Abu Dhabi?
The next morning.
I was going to say, Christmas party must have been incredible.
Didn't have one that year because of COVID.
Okay, what was the office like the day after then? Okay.
Vibes. Just vibes. Pure vibes. I mean, like Queen was playing a lot. Like, that was on loop. That was on loop. Bro. I mean, you know, we ended up doing the whole thing. I don't know if, you know, people might have seen like the whole sort of reaction to Max coming back to the factory and the flares and all that stuff. And just to be a part of that, I mean, what a privilege, what an honor. I mean, there are people who have worked in F1 for 30 years who have never experienced that. So for me to kind of walk in and be like, hey, yeah, cool, I'm Jake. And then, you know, that happened was mad. Absolutely mad.
How much do you credit Christian for, it feels like he's instilled that culture within the team. It's kind of, even though they've quite consistently, you know, been able to perform near the top, it's this kind of us versus them, like underdog, we're the energy drink. He always talks about we're the energy drink that's coming in amongst the big manufacturers. I feel like I think Christian deserves a lot of credit for instilling that, because that seems to have been as what has given Red Bull that slight advantage. That's also what got Adrian Newey in, I think, as well.
I think so. But then that's also the mentality of Red Bull as a brand anyway. Like, we shouldn't be here. Is always the kind of...
Yeah.
It's like an unwritten mantra. Like, we shouldn't be here, but we are. And we're like, you know, even if a few years ago, like, we make energy drinks, but we're at the top end of the grid. And you've got, you know, renowned designers and car manufacturers behind us, sort of like, what are they doing? How can we do that? So there is absolutely like an element of that. But I think Christian obviously has a perception in the media and from fans, but I think on a sort of, I'm not gonna say like on a personal level, like I've gone to his house and, you know, had cups of tea endlessly or something, but like he's not what I think a lot of people kind of perceive him to be. And not to say that he isn't without blemish or, you know, like whatever, but he's just not necessarily that. He's a nice bloke. I think his mentality is not a bad thing given the sport and the industry and what he's trying to achieve. Like, I think at the end of the day, it's kind of win by any cost, which, you know, that sometimes is not always, you know, sometimes there's a line and sometimes that kind of gets rubbed out and moved back a few paces or something. But I think ultimately, like, his heart is always in the right place, and his heart is purely Red Bull and pushing the brand and the team as far as it can possibly go. I mean, the man clearly, you know, sleeps, eats, drinks, the sport and everything around
him. He eats frozen. He has Red Bull ice cubes.
Don't knock it.
Nah, you know what? That'd actually be a good shot. No, because I think whatever the sport, rarely do you have a top manager, a top coach, leader who is universally liked. There's always like
partisan. Is it you always have to create that us versus them atmosphere? That's
yeah. It's not about being liked.
I think an analogy, a good analogy, is Sir Alex Ferguson. Mm. I don't know if I'd necessarily kind of, because Fergie to me is the GOAT and he's just on another level of sort of sports management. But it's that you always heard about Fergie's siege mentality. It's us versus them. And you've got, you know, United back in its heyday with him would be winning titles and they'd still be acting like they've never won one.
Yeah.
And I think it's the similarities there. Yeah. And, you know, people can like him or dislike him, and that's entirely, you know, their choice. But I think you kind of have to respect dragging a team to sort of the success that it has and doing it in, well, some style last year.
Yeah, you have to respect the achievement. Whether or not, again, same with Fergie. Like, I mean, my dad couldn't stand Fergie.
As a Liverpool fan, I couldn't as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't deny the achievement.
You can't be liked by everyone at the end of the day. But if you're a Red Bull fan, I would be surprised if you're like, it'd be a bit weird.
That would be a bit weird. But obviously now you're out of that kind of, you know, out of the bubble. You know, going into 2023, are you, you know, being able to follow the sport in a different way, I guess?
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be odd, isn't it?
It's going to be very weird. Like, I have such a, like, Red Bull tint on things.
Yeah.
Like, so much of, you know, like from a week to week basis, you know, when there's drama kicking off on, you know, Sky F1, getting the inside scoop before everyone else does and kind of, you know, guarding that secret or whatever it is, it's kind of like, you know, knowing a bit more than the average fan.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of just am excited to just be able to watch F1 and not be like so kind of like at the TV or whatever.
You know,
you just have like people coming up on your corners or so you're like, oh, please not engine failure, please not engine failure. You know, you hear a radio message and you're sweating when that's like, oh, the wheels are gone. No. So it'll be very different, but it'll be, maybe I'll like be a bit more, it'll be more enjoy, have more enjoyment from
but
it.
But did you, obviously given the job that you did at Red Bull, did you get much insider information like that you would have to protect?
Mate, I know all about Liera. All about Liera. No, I'm joking. I wouldn't say like, I wouldn't necessarily say like all of it. At the end of the day, like Red Bull specifically, like there's different buildings. So by that happening, there's not sort of like, it's harder to kind of cross paths with people and sort of be like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. But news will always filter through. I mean, but that's to say that it's news that you would hear. It's just that I might hear about it an hour before you do or whatever. And just kind of having that touch point and kind of that exclusivity was always obviously a nice thing.
But obviously going into 23, you know, Red Bull on top, Max world champion, constructors.
Mercedes.
Yeah. I mean, Mercedes are skeptical. There's been a few quotes coming from, which I guess, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, whether I think it's, no team, you set yourself up for failure if you overhype yourself.
1,000, yeah.
You know, every team's guilty of it. Do you think Mercedes are going to be able to re-establish? Because obviously Ferrari pushed Red Bull,
yep,
for sure, and should have pushed them further, really. But do you think it's going to be a three-car battle next year? Like, what do we think generally in the room?
I would personally just enjoy a three-team battle, if I'm going to be totally honest.
When was the last time there was a three-team battle?
It's got to be like 2012, that sort of era, when it was like Mercedes. No, not Mercedes, sorry, McLaren, Ferrari and Red Bull, right?
Yeah, maybe like, 2012. That's a lot. I feel like, but I feel like all the pieces are there, right?
Yeah. Toto Wolff's the king of sandbagging as well, so anything he says... Anything he says.
And according to Christian, this 7% extra ATR time is going to cost you about half a second a lap, which I think is bollocks personally, but you know, I'm entitled to my opinion. Yeah. we'll see about that.
I don't know. I think I suspect that my predictions, no one asked me for the predictions, Red Bull win constructors and drivers again. I'm pretty sure.
Shock.
Yeah. Don't go to it. Yeah. That was controversial, wasn't it? Williams. No, I'm joking. So Red Bull, I think Ferrari are going to drop off a little bit. I think.
You don't believe in the Vasseur plan.
I believe in Vasseur. I personally just kind of think that there's going to be an element of bedding him in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And him kind of coming to grips with, okay, this is the infrastructure I've got. This is what's different from Alfa Romeo, Sauber to now. And sort of just trying to understand the work, because Ferrari is like a very complex machine. You know, we're not talking the car, I'm just talking about the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's probably the most unique, I'd probably say.
And there's more meddling from top management than you get with any other team.
I think, and there's a lot of politics in that role as well. Mm. And I think it's just going to take him a little bit of time to navigate that. And I think that's going to kind of, how that impacts on the track, I don't necessarily, I can tell you, but I just think Ferrari going to maybe be a little bit off the pace.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Potentially, yeah, at a point, whether it's the beginning or whether it is the middle somewhere, and I think Mercedes swoop in. Because there were a few points behind, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they were right behind Ferrari.
Yeah, and their pace towards the end of the season was obviously a lot, lot better than towards the start. What were Toto Wolff's quotes again? He said, I think the W14's going to...
Bang. Well,
he said
that the banging from the porpoising was breaking their engines, apparently.
Right.
Obviously, porpoising was a big factor early in the year. We kind of forgot about it once. Yeah. To be fair, the FIA's kind of, when they intervened, and they put the that did seem to shut it up. Obviously, Red Bull didn't seem to struggle with porpoising too much throughout the season because big brain Adrian.
Ground effect.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think that, I feel like Mercedes, they've got too much quality in their personnel. They've got too much quality in their driver lineup to not be up in the fire. I get they're trying to play it down, but all teams are going to try and play
this
it down.
This is where the surprises that Toto were talking about is like a double DNF first race.
Don't talk to me about that. Mate.
Red Bull double DNF.
I told you like how those sort of like team meetings were. Because we have a team meeting with Christian. Debrief after every race, those first races, oh my god, especially from the high that we'd just come off of. This year, like, wait, yes, and then it's like, I'm like, no, oh my god, it's like, what's going on with the cars? New regulations, so you're like, don't know.
Was it kind of just a sense of like just general, almost like despair, panic, and bewilderment? Or,
yeah, it was just like, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, does this mean the car is rubbish? Like, does it mean that can it be fixed? You know, there's the whole Honda thing, there's the Red Bull powertrains thing. Obviously, it resolved itself, but how the energy was. Like, I will always remember how the energy was in the room at that point.
Yeah,
and kind of like, look, got to pick ourselves up. And again, like, I'll give Christian so much credit for you to kind of be able to lift people back up and kind of go, let's fix this and let's keep going. To then absolutely, you know, smash it.
I was going to say, it shows how quickly things change, because this will be remembered as one of the most dominant F1 seasons.
But people kind of forget the double DNFs and the engine problems and then this thing and that thing. It's crazy.
It's a 23 race season, maybe 24, we'll see next year. Like, there's a lot. like each race almost each race matters less when there's more races there's more opportunities to recover and repair any.
But again, like the
mistakes.
Mentality is always like, let's say that you've wrapped the title in like the US. Mm. It's just like, well, there's records to go for now, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like, yeah. Let's not give them anything. Yeah. We don't care. We're not giving
them. We want that highest win ratio.
P1, P2, lock them out. It's just there from every level. And like I said, I'm a graphics designer. I don't put a single screw in that car, but you're sitting there feeling it like, yeah. Let's go. Yeah. I'm going to drive the car. Yeah. You end up like absolutely like smashing it down the M1.
I'm going to use so many adjustment layers on my necks.
How can I incorporate DRS into this PSD? Yeah. Like.
But obviously going forward, there's been a lot of talk. I think we all seemingly as fans anyway, maybe the team's a bit less, and we understand why. It does affect their cut of the F1 bag. Oh. Is new teams.
On the way, there's a search, an active search.
Mohamed Ben Sulayem's been chatting.
I'm glad you said that.
He's been flirting.
Yeah, he's been
flirting their eyelashes.
Well, yeah, I'd rather expressions. Expressions of interest, which is a interesting way of putting it, to be launched to prospective new F1 teams. Mm. Why is F1? Is it just because if you add an 11th team, then the prize money's got to be split 11 ways instead of 10? Is that the only reason that the big teams don't seem to want anyone else?
Yeah,
coming
no,
in?
I would say. So much of it is just like, it's obviously not, having now worked, you know, with my Thanos gauntlet from all these different perspectives of Formula One, sort of like the full outsider looking in, the half in, half out in agency kind of aspect of it. Like, you know, you might be doing other clients or something. Being at Formula One itself and at an F1 team, all of their sort of priorities are very different to each other. Yeah. There is a constant war between Formula One and the teams about. F1 wants to kind of, when you look at sort of other leagues, you say called the NFL. The NFL have a league-wide uniform deal with Nike. Nike makes all of their stuff, like the on-field uniforms, the sideline stuff. You know, if you're a coach, you have to wear a Nike hoodie, Nike hat or New Era hat, whatever. They all have those types of stuff. Look at F1. You know, Williams is rocking Umbro off the top of my head. Mercedes is
Puma.
Red Bull now is bringing in various entities to kind of cover that. Everyone's got their own thing. They've got their own arranged deals. You know, Williams has got a deal with whoever and it costs X amount, which doesn't mean that, I don't know, Alpha Tauri's deal is the same thing. It's not. So you have all these different sort of factions kind of warring off against each other and trying to claim back some more control. And I think ultimately it boils down to like, yeah, they don't want to be cutting, you know, any more prize money with people, even though that pie might be getting bigger. But also, I think as basic as it is, it's another car like in your way. Like, you know, it's another car that might, you know, crash into you. It might be, you just want to keep it as is. There's, with F1, as fast as it is on track, it's quite slow off of it. It's always just kind of like a lot of feet dragging. There's a lot of politics and there's a lot of kind of trying to work out, you know, how do we kind of phrase this in a better way than we did before so that actually people sign off on it? So,
I think F1 historically has given a lot of power to the teams.
Yeah, 1,000.
More so than in what I feel like I see in other sports typically. In most other sports, it's like the ruling body, whether it's, you know, the NFL or NBA or Premier League or whatever, they make decisions and then everyone else has to kind of, obviously there's a degree of nuance to that, but like they make the rules.
They ultimately make the decisions,
With F1, so much of it seems to go to committee with the teams, or we've got to get such percent of the teams on boards for any decision.
I think it's because it's so perilous in the way that if they made a decision, F1 teams could just go, we're good, we're dipping. Whereas if the Premier League go, we're going to do this. Arsenal, actually, they did try and make the Super League. But realistically speaking, they're not going to go, we're just leaving the Premier League.
Yeah, but like, they couldn't do it by themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, you would, if you were Arsenal when that something happened, you know, they said, well, like, actually, we're not going to give you the last six results for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't want to be part of the Premier League anymore. They'd have to go around and be like, I don't know, City, do you want to
leave?
And, you know, there's not that political power, just isn't there.
Well, it's like that live golf thing. as well. I don't know if you follow golf at all, but Live Golf started as its own separate thing. It's trying to get players on. But I think the bigger the sport gets, the more power F1 actually has to keep these teams in. I know everyone talks about
involved.
Yeah, because more. I mean, a lot more teams seemingly want to be involved. There's loads of rumours. You mentioned Ford earlier. There's rumours about Hyundai. There's Porsche. Obviously, they've put it out there that
Andretti as well.
Could I just say, right? I always thought it was pronounced Hyundai. Then I saw an advert the other day, and they said that it's pronounced Hyundai, and my mind was
blown. Yeah.
I just learned this something just now.
I did not know that.
I just went, that is a real fancy way to say that.
Yeah. The whole point of the advert was that people are mispronouncing it, and then they were like, yeah, it's Hyundai. And I was like, pardon?
Pardon?
You said what?
I swear, in the States, don't they pronounce it like Hindi or something?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sure I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. I did a video about Hyundai.
That's how
it's pronounced in Korean.
I'm going to actually have to remember that.
Yeah, no.
what teams would we like? What manufacturers would we like to see? Everyone says Lamborghini. Gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd just be mad. Because like they've got quite a, you know, speaking from a nerdy designer, their design language is quite crazy, much like their cars. So just to kind of see like liveries that
they're like opposite to Ferrari.
Yeah, I mean, like, it would just be cool to have, like, another... I know, obviously, like, AlphaTauri technically are, but it would just be cool to have, like, a heritage brand from Italy kind of potentially rivaling Ferrari or sort of doing something else in there. Yeah. Plus, it's a cool brand, man. Like, it'd be like bringing Bugatti in or something. It'd just be, like, mental.
Be gas, yeah. Yeah. I would love to see Ford as well. I think the liveries you'd get with that would be bang.
Ford would
or a third Red Bull team. Obviously, you've got Red Bull in English, you've got Red Bull in Italian, Red Bull in Spanish.
Long live Toro Rosso.
Of course.
Red Bull in Austria.
Red Bull in Austria.
Austrian company.
Yeah, that could work.
Because that's the thing, that there's so many different... Clearly, F1, with the budget cap, with the, like, there is clearly more demand than ever. Fact that MBS have come out and put this out there and put it out into the world, there's clearly interest. But I think as well, like... And this is why the reason I know how to pronounce Hyundai is because I did a video saying, like, what if they joined F1? Because I think they're the type of brand, they've done a lot of motorsport activities, but they, brilliant. I think they'd get a lot of value. WRC, they're being like touring cars, they get a lot of value because Mercedes used to be like a old man brand. Now it's like every drug dealer in London's got an A-class like AMG. A-class like AMG,
AMG.
But you know what I mean? Like that the perception, the brand perception around Mercedes has changed loads being in F1.
Perception is unreal with like Formula One, especially in the recent boom that we've had since COVID. Mm. I mean, think of Toro Rosso as like, you know, the sister team, the little brother to the big brother, to then rebadges AlphaTauri, a clothing brand that at that point hadn't really launched itself properly. I remember your video actually of you buying that AlphaTauri shirt.
It was dead.
Yeah, in your old kitchen.
throwback.
And then for people to kind of know what AlphaTauri is.
Yeah.
You can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can, but it's insane that you could just sort of produce this thing that quick.
Yeah. Did anyone know what an Alpine was before?
No, I didn't. No. I definitely didn't.
Only make one car.
They need to.
I'm like, come on, man.
But you had some time now. Like,
you still only make what? I heard Cadillac actually being referenced as well, because Cadillac's one of them brands that like
do a lot of racing. Like
They do. They do.
I feel like they do.
NASCAR,
stock car. US. You know what's it? ALMS, whatever it's
LMSA
called.
LMSA or whatever it's.
It's
called.
What Kevin Magnussen did when he was out. He was in a Cadillac, doing endurance racing. It's like, but that's what I mean. The perception, I think, particularly in the UK, perception around Cadillac is Escalade.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the front grill. I was just thinking of like an F1 car with a front grill just huge.
BMW with a new massive nostril.
Spinning.
Oh my God.
Spinning rims.
Yeah. Oh. It's an F1. Oh, it's like ultra porpoising. It like bounces up and down. Like,
my God.
Just to pimp my ride.
Yeah.
In the back.
We got a boombox in the back.
And also, what's going on with Honda?
I mean, you tell me.
What's going on with Honda, man? It's ridiculous. Yeah. They lost out on the Braun.
Yeah.
They had the title winning car. And then back in, back out. Back, Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? Well, Honda are definitely going to be on the grid in 2020.
I think their priorities shift, you know, like...
Daily.
Well, I mean, because obviously they pulled the plug on it because they were like, well, we want to focus more on, like, electrical sort of cars and that kind of moving to that sort of thing. And I think that's, like, A, that's really admirable. Yeah. But also, like, that's still relevant to Formula One. There's still...
Yeah.
It is with the new regulations coming in 2016.
Exactly. And there's so much electronics that kind of go into that, into the car. So I don't know. I don't know if this is kind of like a board level thing where, you know, like half the room is like, yeah, no, let's do F1. And half the room is like, nah.
Yeah. It's like when an ex just can't like get over, do you get me? Or someone can't go over their ex. They just kind of keep going.
But they have such a heritage in the sport.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to me. It's not like you never won with them. And you're like, oh, like we keep trying, we keep losing. Yeah. I mean, you've got Senna driving one of your cars.
You keep trying, keep winning and then leaving.
That's the most iconic car.
The most.
Yeah. A Honda.
That's what I mean. Like, I think I've seen a lot of like conspiracy theories knocking about with the Honda coming in to like accelerate their engine development, blah blah blah. I think that's just giving Honda too much credit. They just can't make up their mind. Honda, stop. It's time to stop.
It's time to stop. Right.
Settle on.
Make a choice. Make a choice.
Any other brands before we move on? Any other particular, could be non automotive brands.
Well,
could
I say people keep going on about Tesla as a brand.
Oh Christ.
Yeah, but they're all electric.
I mean, that's what I never
that's
really
Formula
understood
E,
with that. I was like,
they'd be Formula
E. Yeah.
That would make so much sense for them. As well.
That would make a lot of sense.
I would like to see the most mundane car brand join Formula
I was
Formula
trying
One.
To think of, like Volvo or something.
Dacia.
Skoda.
Yes. A Skoda Formula One team would be unbelievable.
Scuderia Skoda.
Scuderia.
Skoda Scuderia.
No, they could buy AlphaTauri.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Skoderia.
You imagine a Skoda.
That would be class.
AlphaTauri. Mate, that would
I
be
I could
so
actually
good.
Imagine the livery as well and the sort of brands. It'd be like, it'd just be like really like functional things.
Yeah.
That's the designers.
Yeah, it'd be just functional.
Going in.
Scuderia Skoda.
Yeah.
But talking of potential futures for the sport, because I do think the grid in 5 years is going to be pretty exciting to see.
I think it will, yeah.
There was an interesting quote that I found on from Verstappen, Max Verstappen's kind of socials, talking about Le Mans and how potential him, Sebastian, Fernando, Le Mans super team. Vettel quoted saying, I'm not old, but maybe we could do it together. Fernando quoted saying, I know Max would like to drive the 24-hour Le Mans. I'm definitely open to doing that together. Maybe Jos can act as team manager. Not so sure about that part, personally.
Okay, yeah.
Come on, surely.
Is this the era of, like, in the NBA, they've got, like, all these super teams, they call them. Is this the era now of super teams, where it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, because it's three drivers, isn't it, for Le Mans?
Plus, it's like, I'm pretty sure if they kind of went into, like, the paddock and were like, hey, I'm available.
Mm. Everyone would be like, yo.
I don't think, I mean, obviously people have like contracts, but they'd be like, you'd be kind of stupid to be like, no, we're good. We're good. Like,
sorry, Max, mate. You just.
How many have you won, Max? Yeah. I don't, who are you? No, I don't think that's
one All Stars.
Sure. Like, no disrespect to Brendan Hartley, but he came in, had a pretty mediocre F1 career and has had loads of success in endurance racing. And
but I think this is the rise of motorsport now.
This is
I
it.
I think we're on the kind of not even the crest of a wave yet. I think this is just, it started with F1, and F1 is kind of obviously like the pinnacle of motorsport. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of filtering down, because I was kind of of the opinion, I kind of guessed that Ricciardo was going to come back to Red Bull. That was a guess as well. So that kind of happened. But I was like, kind of, it would be cool if he went NASCAR or if he went to IndyCar, the amount of eyeballs that would kind of transfer over with him.
And he's the biggest F1 driver in the States.
By a country mile.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
He would be kind of stupid not to do that at some point, I feel.
Verstappen and Hamilton are nowhere near Ricciardo in terms of the States.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest market, arguably.
I mean, because obviously Kimi did a little bit of stock car.
Yes.
And the amount of attention he got doing that. I mean, I found myself watching, like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? Cool car, whatever.
Yeah.
If someone of that calibre, even if they were like ex-F1, the amount of people, look at what sort of Grosjean's doing over there and the other guys. Yeah, like, they're not doing a bad job of it. And I think they're great ambassadors for F1 and they're great ambassadors for whatever series that they're in. Yeah, so it's definitely. I almost feel like F1 should be kind of encouraging it or sort of extending a hand to sort of IndyCar and NASCAR and kind of going, well, look, if you want to grow it in America, start talking to the fans that are already watching motorsport that aren't watching F1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, it's an interesting point. It's like, how do you perceive, you know, it's all motorsport. Whether you're racing on ice, whether you're racing on tracks, whether it's open wheel, whether it's closed wheel.
Two wheel, three wheel, four wheel, whatever.
And a lot of the skill set carries over. Sure, there's some drivers who are, you know, I wouldn't necessarily expect, you know, someone to go straight from F1 and win at Le Mans, because that's to discredit the quality that you've got already in those series. But yeah, I think for me, it's like the table is big enough for everyone to eat. And the more that the bigger the table can get, everyone benefits long term.
Was it all boats rise when they rise together? That's probably not.
That's inspirational, you know, mate.
That's good enough for us. That's inspirational.
I'm feeling inspired.
But, I mean, we've got, you know, the chief check fact checker over there. He's not going to be able to know, is he?
Yeah, he doesn't.
True.
Yeah.
Know everything about your career.
Apparently, sorry.
Do you think that... And also, you had Kevin and his dad, Jan, race together, didn't they?
That was wholesome.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. Jan and Max? But Jos and Max? Yeah.
I would love to see the F1 drivers do more multidiscipline. Like, we see it a little bit with Race of Champions, don't we?
I was about to say, yeah.
That's the only place we really see it.
Vettel just driving around.
Yeah. I mean, like, if Mick's doing reserve driving, let him super reserve at, I don't know, like, kind of build a bit of a sort of background doing other stuff as well. Yeah, I don't think, like, it's going to take anything away from you as an F1 driver if you can drive the wheels off an IndyCar every now and then.
Yeah.
We've occasionally, remember when Fernando did the Indy 500 and Jensen...
Mate, I was so excited for the Indy 500. Weed
in his seat.
No idea what it was. I was like, yes!
That's what I mean. Like,
kissing the bricks, the drinking milk.
Because I feel like if you're into motorsport, if you're exposed enough to other types of motorsport, you can enjoy it.
Yeah, 1,000.
Absolutely.
It is about getting people in the first place. And I think you can make that pie bigger. Because the bigger the pie is, the more interest there is, the more prices for everything comes down as well. Because motorsport is never going to be anywhere near as accessible as football or American, like whatever, right? It's never going to be as accessible as that. But it's still very, you know, if your parents have got money or they're an ex-driver, then
you're good. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get opportunities, you know what I mean?
And you end up with the same type of person coming into the sport and everyone going, it's the same type of person in the sport, what's going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if you kind of reverse, if you look at it with a much wider lens, look at it from the grassroots level, you are going to end up having more people from different backgrounds and different experiences and walks of life kind of going, oh, I can do that. I mean, obviously, like Lewis is doing that with what he's been doing in the last couple of years and his advocacy. I think it makes the sport itself so much stronger as well. And it makes it more appealing.
Yeah,
it just feeds itself.
To everybody,
yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing, like, since we got more eyeballs on these drivers as human beings, you can literally, I don't know, maybe it's not an exception, but I feel like with F1, there's so many different personalities.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, Ricardo, totally different to Kimi, totally different to Sebastian.
But there's only, it's because there's only 20. You know, like, it's a... Football.
It's a small pool. Yeah.
Football is across the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many, I don't know, hundreds of leagues at varying levels. Yeah. Like, I can, like, obviously follow Kylian Mbappe and then, I don't know, De Bruyne, you know, all these different people.
There's thousands of footballers that you see every month, realistically. Like.
Yeah. So I think where you've got 20, it's very exclusive. And as you said, now you can really hone in on people's characters a lot more because there's not so many people to kind of get them lost in each other. So I think,
I think a big character going into next year as well is Fernando Alonso. Mm-hmm. I was on the way up, I was looking at, he's done his little launch.
Yeah.
Aston Martin with his helmet. How do we think that's going to go? Because I think
it'll never last.
He's still, he's 41 now. And I know his age always gets mentioned. We're all getting older.
Yeah,
I'm 30 in a couple of weeks. So,
Jesus,
tough.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right?
Imagine, I'm turning 32 this year, making me feel old.
We're getting old. We're getting old, boys.
Oh, my back hurts.
But
my lower back.
Lower back.
I think the Alonso Aston Martin movie is one of the more interesting ones moving forward because I feel like this surely has to be last roll of the dice for him. He's banking on this opportunity coming good.
You sound like you don't think it's going to work.
Aston Martin were... Maybe not. Aston Martin were much better. Like, if you look at the tail end of last season, they were up there with McLaren and Alpine, I feel like, in terms of pace. Well clear of Alfa Romeo. Do we think that's going to pay dividends? I mean, do we think you've seen the Lawrence Stroll energy, first hand, them two in a room? Whew, I mean, that's either going to go exceptionally or awfully, surely.
I think it's going to go well. Because if you're no, because I think if you're Lawrence, you know what you're bringing in.
It's true.
And if you're Lawrence, you're the top dog. Mm. So like you are the boss, you're the owner. So it's not like Fernando can be like, oh well, I think we should Fernando, we're doing that way. Like I've said, we're going this way. So I think Fernando also knows what is kind of the parameters that he's walking into as well. It's not like he, you know, Aston Martin is brand spanking new and Lawrence just bought the team. It's been around now for, 2 years? Mm-hmm. This will be the third season. So I think if you wanted to bring any driver in that is currently on the grid, you know, you got your choice to develop a car. I don't think Alonso is in the bottom tier of that. I think he's in...
Not absolutely up there.
He will drive the wheels off that car and they're going to get so much data off of it and his insight. I mean, he's a world champion as well. So it's not like he's, you know, some Johnny come lately.
I think he'll do really well for them. Obviously, he's Fernando Alonso. The one thing that I'm concerned about is that, you know, Fernando was getting frustrated being Esteban Ocon's teammate and being raced a little bit harder than he would hope for. I have concerns about him being a teammate of Lancey boy.
They're valid concerns.
Because whilst I think Stroll is a little bit underrated in terms of just his general pace, he does continue to do stupid things on a regular basis.
Agreed.
Like, relatively regular basis.
Yeah.
Where Alonso is the type of character where he will get to a point where he's fed up of that and it will become very apparent. Like, you'll get the team radios where he's complaining and stuff like that.
Mm.
And he was okay with it in Kota because he was like, I'm going to Aston Martin. He's going to be my teammate. I can't say anything too crazy. When he is actually his teammate, he will say something crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm concerned about. Because Lawrence is, you know...
Maybe he has a huge character development.
Maybe.
Or like Sebastian.
Look, I think that...
Becomes a hippie, just like out of nowhere. That would be great.
That's not happening. That bit won't happen. I will eat my hat if that happens. But I could imagine him kind of just... I think the infrastructure Aston have, and sort of the personnel that they have...
Yeah.
Again, I'm an outsider. It's not like I kind of have ever been in there or anything like that. I get the feeling that they've kind of started to build, you know, it's not a new team anymore. They're bringing the right types of people in and you're sort of seeing it on track. But in the infrastructure side, they're also kind of doing that. And I think it would be kind of, and sort of against all of that for Fernando to come in and kind of be like, yeah, no, not interested, not talking to you, no, not doing this thing. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, because and as much as when it first was announced that he was joining Aston, I was surprised. I think most people were surprised. I think actually when you look at it, which team would you gamble on being able to deliver a title championship fighting car? As much as the Alpine's quicker at the moment, I think you look at the Aston infrastructure, you look at the investment that Lawrence has both in Aston Martin as a brand that he part owns, marketing that well with a good F1 team, because we've seen what that's done again, like Mercedes, that's a complete change.
Yeah.
Aston Martin haven't been doing very well, like from a, you know, from a stock price point of view, not that anything has, but I'm just saying that I think that there's that level of investment there. I think it was the right choice for Fernando, and I hope it works out for him, because he's like, when you look at two world titles, this is a man who clearly should have more given the quality of his.
You look at what he did at McLaren. Like, when I started working in the industry, I'm like, oh, yeah, McLaren, blah, blah, blah. And they're at the back. And I'm like, what's going on? I thought this was like, what? Like, to sort of see like how he managed that sort of period, and not to say that like the car got massively better, but I think those two cars, 2017, 2018, would have been in a much worse situation if he wasn't kind of at the helm, kind of holding them accountable. And I think that's
good point.
The kind of thing he's going to bring to Aston Martin, where it is kind of like, okay, this is not good enough. It should be at this level.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the history of Aston Martin, I mean, obviously I know Vettel's kind of been there and stuff like that, but I just think Alonso will develop it kind of better than Seb to an extent. Like I think Seb's presence was kind of like this is championship. This is the level you need to be at. And then Alonso's thing is like, cool, Seb's done that groundwork. Yeah. My job is to bring that sort of, here's the car. This is what it should be doing, etc. And they kind of complement each other in that way. And that's not me saying, Seb's worse than Fernando or whatever. They're just
Yes, it is.
just different characters and just different mandates they've probably come in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can't ask for two more experienced and... Like, if they can't make it work with Seb and then going into Alonso going forward, then...
Next up, Lewis. Boom.
Yeah, that's it. The Holy Trinity. Talk about Infinity Stones.
Yeah, strange in green Stone. Overalls.
That would be...
I mean, I'm not sure I'm kind of going to understand Fernando in green overalls either.
Yeah.
That's going to look...
It's going to take some getting used
to. It's just like, even when he had the hat on, I was like, oh, this is... Yeah. You know, I have to adjust myself into this one.
Odd. Right, let's wrap it. Equal machinery debate. What's this part of the pod, Niren, to remind everyone listening and watching?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the segment of the show. Well, that sounded like I was about to do an FTW.
It did, didn't it?
This is a segment of the show where we are allocated a driver each. Mm-hmm. We have to argue that they would be the best today. They would win in a three-person race in equal machinery in the exact same car. At the end, we then got a guess whether we truly meant what we were saying. Mm. So we've been allocated a driver each.
And who did the best job?
Yeah, who did the best job to...
Even if you don't believe what you're saying. So this waffle. Is allocated by a producer, Lewis. Big up, Lewis. Charles Leclerc, for you, Jake.
Yep.
Okay.
George Russell, for you, Niren.
Oh, PR63.
And Lando Norris... For me.
I love that you've got as good. Yeah. You've got Lando.
Yeah. You can't have Lando.
Like, yeah. I'd just be like, he's good at GOAT Among Us. No, I'm
off. That's all the hallmarks for a future champion.
And also we're gonna do this time limit. Mm-hmm. 1 minute.
1 minute, 60 seconds.
I'm gonna make you go first, Jake.
All right. Charles Leclerc.
Because I'm a terrible, awful human being. So you've got 1 minute to say that Charles Leclerc would beat George and Lando in equal machinery. Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Well, he's already beaten them repeatedly this year. I think ultimately, though, he's like knocked Sebastian out of his car. That's a four-time world champion. I don't think it's up for debate simply because George, I don't see the sort of dog in him as of yet. I think we saw elements of it in Spain when he was fighting Max, but I think Charles, obviously it didn't work out great in the end, but he fought Max pretty hard, was still sort of up thereabouts, and I just don't think that Lando's not been tested fully yet. He's not been in a title fight. Charles has. And George has a lot of potential, but I just don't think they're there yet. They've not been tested through the fire the same way Max was against Lewis, for example. So I think Charles is the one, because I'm just watching it count down.
He's the one. Okay.
Yeah. He's the one.
Just repeat 1 minute. The same point.
Over and over. That's over what I did last time.
With slightly different words.
It's a good strategy. Yeah.
That's what I did last time when I had to be flipping Mick Schumacher.
You could sound more stroppy about that. Yeah. I can try.
Okay.
You next?
Is it me next? Yeah,
why not? Right, cool. Why not? Yeah, right. Safe. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. He finished second in a Williams at Spa. Stop the clock. Who else is doing that? No, carry on. Who else is doing that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no one else is getting in that Williams, yeah? Slapping it second on the grid at a rain-soaked Spa-Francorchamps. George also beat Lando in F2. So if we're talking about like actually just in equal machinery.
But how good is he at?
I was going to say, this is today, isn't it?
Yeah. If we're talking today, that's calm, man. George beat Lewis Hamilton across the championship realistically in a Mercedes. Like, George has gone out and won at Brazil. Shown that when he's in a race-winning car, he can go out from lights to flag, control a Grand Prix.
The McLaren and the Mercedes are not equal machinery.
Okay, no, I hear that. I'm not talking about like comparison to Lando, but in comparison to Charles.
Just derail him.
Charles has had multiple opportunities this season to win races. And whilst Ferrari have bottled it, he has also bottled it at times as well, like at Imola and in France. I haven't seen that sort of breaking from George Russell at times when he can bring home points. Boom.
Excellent. Not bad.
Not bad.
It wasn't bad.
But watch this. Lando Norris, right? In terms of mistakes, driver you know, mistakes themselves. I don't see him making any. I'm sorry, Russia last year, that was on the team for me. Like, you, the team have to feed him more information. He put that car in that opportunity in that place. You look at how well he stacked up against Carlos Sainz, a man who outscored Charles Leclerc in their first season together as Ferrari teammates. And pace-wise, hasn't been outqualified Leclerc in the second half of this season just gone. How close he got to Sainz.
This man does also not want me to retort.
Lando Norris, I'm sorry, Daniel Ricciardo came into that team with all the hype. Everyone expected Daniel Ricciardo to put Lando in his place. And he just didn't. Lando stepped up, was able to dethrone the only man that could come close to Max Verstappen in equal machinery. Lando has not put a foot wrong in his F1 career so far. Obviously, everyone's got odd days. No one's perfect, right? But Lando, top tier, carrying that McLaren team forward to potentially future glory. We'll see. Unless Audi snap him up as well. That could happen. Done. Oh, I just did another lap.
He didn't beat me at any point, though, so that's all on you. Like, he didn't even mention
objection! Objection, Your Honor! I beefed both you at the start because Russell and Leclerc have both made their share of, you know,
errors. Individual errors.
I feel like from an individual error point of view, I think Lando's strongest. Sorry, yeah, I'm carrying on. My minute's gone. But what do we actually believe? That's the question.
Right.
Equal machinery, Leclerc, Russell, Norris. Have we convinced each other?
Yeah.
To change our perspective.
I think...
Jake, did you believe, first of all, in what you were saying?
Half.
Mm-hmm.
50%.
Mm.
Gun to my head. Keep using that analogy, sorry. I think... I would always...
Come on, you got to pick one.
Flip-flop
you
between
pick one.
Leclerc and Lando. I still think... Nah, I'm going to go Lando.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lando. Because I
convince you, it's
absolutely
fine.
Absolutely. I think, you know, coming in, I had strong convictions and getting melted them away. They're gone now. Freaking hell. I think Lando. I think put them in all in the same car. Lando is, less prone to make a mistake. Because he's clearly got, like, the mental capacity, I think, without having gone through all those different experiences. Mm-hmm. Leclerc, as you said, sometimes...
Yeah.
Questionable decisions or just thinking of France like last season.
Imola as well.
And, like, you know, I won't cuss George out. I'm not 100% sure with him yet. I kind of think we're early days. I think we did
first
a phenomenal
year
job
at
Williams.
First year at Mercedes.
Yeah, like I need to kind of see a bit more and kind of like, how are you as a driver? What are you like when you've got a car underneath you that can compete consistently with the other guys?
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of see it a bit more. We've seen flashes.
Because I think it was quite a low pressure season for George, wasn't it? Like, no one even expected him to come in and really be like, there was the expectation of, well, I mean, you've got to be on Bottas's level. You've got to be at least, or, you know, better. You've got to at least challenge Lewis a bit, but, you know, we'll allow you if you're 60 points off him in the
Plus
championship.
Plus, the car clearly wasn't Plus competitive to win races
there.
At the start of the
Exactly.
Year.
So that whole start of the season where he was like, just finishing the top five consistently, whilst it was like crazily impressive, he was probably driving under like limited pressure, as much as you can be in Formula One. But I still think that was crazy impressive.
Yeah.
For me, I did start to convince myself, I'm not going to lie, whilst I was talking, because you know what it is? Halfway through, I thought about Bahrain as well, 2020, and didn't even say it.
Yeah, that's a great show.
But I was thinking it. Because that drive was ridiculous. Like, I mean, the guy could have won it like four different times. You know?
His head was in front of the intake.
Yeah, it was insane.
The engine was starving.
The engine was screaming.
And I think he has had an impressive season, but you're right. In terms of like those individual errors, you still kind of do see it. I always just love the fact that George, in one of like F1's worst cars in the last like 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, was still able to provide points like semi-regularly.
Yeah.
That drive, well, I'd say it wasn't really a drive in terms of the race at Belgium, but like qualifying.
Sale GP.
Yeah.
True.
Sale GP, come on.
Full circle. Like
swimming
that.
Around. Was crazily impressive. But I do think, and I'm not contractually obliged to say this, but I do genuinely think in equal machinery, I think you would probably see Lando come out on top.
Interesting.
Not gonna lie. I love Charles as well. I do love Charles.
I think Charles has all the markings of a future.
Charles, if he can iron out these mistakes, will win championships.
Dude, he's getting 1,000%, like, so many pole positions. Like, he's got the mentality.
And he's got the speed, obviously.
And he's got the speed. So it's just like, once you iron that crease out, as you said.
I mean, it was his first time actually competing for a championship, so you kind of allow it a little bit, you know. Max was making mistakes.
It must be difficult working with a team where clearly Charles' confidence in Ferrari has been quite understandably wavered by what happened.
It definitely had its moments, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1,000.
I think of the three, I think today Charles is the quickest driver. I think he's the quickest of the three. Would I trust him to bring it home as much as I would Lando? No. But I think in terms of the quickest driver of the three today, I think it's Charles.
And obviously that was me and my advocacy just, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I came in with a conviction, you melted that.
Yeah.
And then likewise, me and just this gift of lawyer speak.
Yeah, you swapped and I just melted my own. So none of us actually believed in what we were saying.
We're all liars.
We're all liars.
We're all frauds.
You are a liar, an actress.
That was really good. I like that.
Yeah, fun. Pretty good.
Boys, we're done.
Good.
Good stuff.
That was fun.
A lot of fun.
That was really good.
Very good shit.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
On the internet. JP1_design on pretty much everything, really. I mean, you can just Google it.
Google it.
You'll find it.
Search it.
I think Tomo follows me, so just find me on there.
Well, I think I do. I hope I do.
I'm sure you can find him on LinkedIn as well.
Yes.
Big up LinkedIn! On there and on the ads as well.
And where can everyone else find us if they're... Are we on Pixo yet?
Are we on
MySpace or?
Oh, probably.
That was a Pixos before your time.
Follow us on BBM.
BBM. Oh, throwback.
Today. BBM, Bebo, all of that. LinkedIn, Calm, Snapchat. Can find us over there.
Design.
Easy. Like, if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening only, shout out the listening crew. Give us a 5-star rating over there. If you're watching on YouTube, then please do like and subscribe and comment saying whether you want a pair of these glasses. We'll release them as merch.
Yeah, if you've watched to the end on YouTube.
The last lap instead on the top.
That cannot confirm.
If you've watched the end, Niren's glasses are washed.
Washed.
Then we know you got to the end.
They're washed.
Yeah. They're slightly dusty.
Yeah, they are slightly dusty. I'm not going to lie. Oh, and follow us on TikTok as well.
Yeah.
Clips going out over there.
Ooh,
shouts out everyone who's supporting over there as well. Mm. Tomo, it's been a pleasure.
As always, 2023. I'm excited, boys.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good season.
It's going to be a banger.
Jordan, yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Adios.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.